Good evening, everybody. What we're going to do tonight is a recap, and hopefully we're going to do it in the next 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, depends how it's going to go. So like this, it will help people to catch up, and also it will be introduction to everything deep that we go so far. If this is your first time, please try to listen. If this is not your first time, please try to listen. And let's take it in the next level. So what we're going to do, we're going to jump. You know, we're going to start from the beginning, and whatever I think you can catch up from my lecture before, do it. And whatever it is, something that I skip, I don't skip because I know better. I skip because I have to make some decision how to do it. So forgive me above and below if I'm doing mistake by skipping it, but I have to do it as an introduction for people who just been exposed to this knowledge. So I'm going to start with the first verse so we can have a connection. You have to know that the Kabbalah, again, this wisdom, is a study of what happened before Genesis, before God. So for that reason, it's kind of a heavy-duty information. Da, you need to know. It didn't say believe. It say da. Da mean you have to know. Ki, terem shenetz lo nitzalim, before the emanated world emanate, and you use specifically the word emanated because we have different level of existence. So emanation is the highest, creation is the second, formation is the third, and action is the fourth, as you all know. So before everything was emanated, before every creature was created, aya or elyon, it was upper light, simple upper light, fulfilled the entire existence. It was nothing that called empty space or empty air, the halal or space. Elaya kol, everything was fulfilled with that endless, simple endless, and that endless didn't have no beginning, no end. Everything was one simple light that equal everywhere, and we call that light Or En Sof, the endless light. So this is Rabbi Isaac Luria, that's written 500 years ago, and now we go to Rav Ashlag, as Rav Ashlag explained. And I would like to start with this paragraph that most people are skipping it because it seems not important, but it is the most important thing to remember. Every time you come to study Kabbalah, you have to remember that paragraph. Tzrichim lizkor. Rav Ashlag start with that. You need to memorize that. Shekol chokhmat haKabbalah, everything in Kabbalah, miyusedet al inyanim ruchanim, found based on spirituality. Sheinam tofsim lo makom velo zman. If it's based on spirituality, that means there is no space and there is no time. You have to remember that. So when we say light, most people say, oh my God, light, I saw the light. No, you can't see the light. The light is not a physical thing. Once you saw it, that's when you didn't see a thing. So a lot of spiritual people, whoever claim spirituality, I saw the light, I saw this, you don't see. Light is not a physical thing. So once you talk about spirituality, specifically Kabbalah, from a physical point of view, you missed the whole point. There's no physicality. No time, no space, no motions. There is no missing. There is no something that missed. Let's say, if in physicality I have the pen here and then I move it here. So now the pen is no longer in A, it's now in B. It doesn't exist in Kabbalah. If the A, once it was in A, and I move it to B, it's in both places. So the brain, it's difficult. But that's how you study Kabbalah. You need to memorize those things to understand that you are getting into an area which you're not familiar with. It's not something you can relate into physical world. Don't be shy to ask questions if you hear or in your home. Send it on our text so we can answer it. So in spirituality, there is no such a thing as one thing disappear and another appear. If one thing is no longer there, that means it's been additional form in B. So let's say A, pen is on here, B, pen is here. So now you have additional pen on B plus the original pen on A. Nothing ever can disappear in spirituality, which teaching us about life. I think it's quite motivating if you think about it, that nothing ever disappear. Nothing ever disappear. Nobody ever die. No money ever been lost. The crazy concept if you think about it, like, should motivate you. So if you want to understand how God think, nothing ever disappear. That's how God think. So this is a book to help you from God's point of view, not from our point of view. What is from our point of view? physicality, we live in this illusionary universe. What's going on here? People have no clue why they born, why they die, and what they're doing here. No idea. Just wake up in the morning, do the thing, and die. That's it. That's life. But if you remember that from point of view of God, none of these, I shouldn't say even God, ends of the endless, none of these ever gone. It's always. So that's been Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob here, of course. Moses, of course. Not together, thank God. But because we live in a concept of time, what happened to us? There is yesterday, there is tomorrow, there is today, there is separation. Kabbalah, the real Kabbalah, not motivational, some talk of Kabbalah. 500 years ago, nothing ever is gone. Nothing. It's beautiful. בצורה הראשונה אינה זזה ממקומה. The original form never move. כי ההיעדר וההשתלמות הם הדרגי הקשבים. If you say something change or something disappear, you are talking about physicality. In spirituality, nothing ever gets disappeared. I think just that concept is tremendous. And the reason I opened with that tonight is Rav Ashtak saying, זהו כל הקושי למתחילים. That's what most people who begin to study Kabbalah, that's what they do most of the mistake. They compare it into the physical universe. Can't. Physical universe cannot apply to those kind of things. You know, you drive a car from Santa Monica to here. You're not in Santa Monica, you are here. You are here now. Are you in your house too? No. But from a spiritual point of view, you're in both places. כי תופסים הדברים בביטויים הרגשיים וכבולים של הזמן במקום וחילוף תמורה. Because there is some people who study that knowledge and they try to compare it to something physical with time, space, changing of form or changing of things. And that's אשר מלחמים שתמושים בהם פרגרסיבים בעלמה. The Kabbalists use those words as only a language to explain to us about the spiritual universe. So when the Kabbalists use the word light or before and after, they're using it as a code to explain to us about the spiritual world. Your job as a student of Kabbalah is to understand those codes and never forget them. So when we talk about light, we're not talking about physical light, a force of sharing. When we talk about vessel, don't think about the cup. Think about the force of receiving. What is receiving? You can't paint it. Receiving, giving. There's no, I saw the light. You saw the light, you're using the wrong drugs, get over it, which is physical. You don't see the light. Light is force. So the Kabbalists use those words only to help us. So we can relate those words to the Shorshem Elyonim. So we can connect it to the roots above. So try to imagine that the roots of everything is in the spiritual universe and the fruit coming down. So the tree is upside down. So we are enjoying the fruit. From the fruit, you can understand what's happening in the roots. But if you relate to the fruit too much, you're missing the whole point. The fruit is just a little manifestation. It's not even 1%. It's not, nothing. So if you're able to connect to the roots, you can affect the fruit. Most people try to change the fruit. Fruit, how can I change the fruit? How can I change the fruit? Okay, you change it, change the apartment, change this, change girlfriend, boyfriend, this, that. Same thing. Same. Nothing ever happened. But when you start to change and you start to connect to the roots, everything starts to change. לפיכך, אתאמץ. For that reason, Sir Rav Ashtak, I will make an effort to explain every word with the spiritual meaning. המופשט במקום ומזמן מתמורה. And you have to remember, when I'm explaining it, you have to undress it from space, from time, or from change, because change not exist. ועל המעיינים, for you, student Sir Rav Ashtak, it's your responsibility to memorize those words that I will explain, so you can repeat them again and again, otherwise you will get lost within that spirituality. So first thing, let's start first. Rabbi Isaac Luria, say terem. Terem mean before. Before mean time. That's already physicality. Say Rav Ashtak. But terem, which means before, every time you hear the word before in spirituality, it means the cause. After, the effect. So from now on, we have translation to the words. Because every time you hear somebody here talking about time, in this type of study specifically, and you think they talk about time, you're missing that understanding. Because they can't talk about time. It's before time was exist. Before space was exist. before Moshe exists, before changing in physicality was, this is before physicality, this is before Adam and Eve, this is before physical universe. You good? You good? So that's before of all before. And it makes you kind of awake how much we relate to the physical universe. We take the physical universe very seriously. You know, very seriously. I mean, everything is physical. Physical. Everything physical. But the truth of the matter is, this universe is a visit. You come for a visit. You learn your lesson and you're gone. What is it? You come back 90 years. I mean, you're not Kirk Douglas. You're not going to live under the tree. That was a lucky one, right? Under 3 years old. Wow. I mean, but in that period, you got to learn your lesson. You gotta wake up and understand, what is my lesson? What is the good? What is the bad? What am I changing? Am I becoming more spiritual? Which means less physical? I mean, less relate to this physical universe? Or I'm relating to a place that there is no time, space, and motion. Can I even think about the universe like that? So, when we say before, we are connecting to the idea of cause. So if I said to you, before the emanate was emanated, we are talking about the cause of the emanated was emanated. Okay? So now, the word before, we're changing it. After means the effect of the emanation. So, because every time you feel we talk about something physical, you have to stop, I missed something here, and read it again. To find out it's not physical. If you find it still physical, you're missing something. Alright? Now, let's give some names. Let's give some order of them. It will help you to the understanding. So basically, you have levels. The highest level is called Bore. Bore means creator. Creator. If you know in the blessing, Jewish blessing, you always time to say Bore Prea Geffen, Bore Mine Mezonot, Bore, 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 Bore. Why you say Bore? Because it's an area that we don't even know what it is. We call him by that name because what is creator? Don't know. I just know that force created something. It's not God, by the way. God is much lower. Bore, creator. Below the Bore, you have something called the essence of the creator. Yes. Do I know anything about it? Nothing. Zero. Below that, you have the light that comes from the essence that we call it that light. Endless light. How much you know about it? One thing I know about it. I know there is no end there. No end. And after that, come the different names of God. So when people say, I'm connecting to God, blah, 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 they don't even understand how many levels there is. And it's sad because most people who teach Torah or Kabbalah, they don't have a clue there is level. So now, when we are talking about Bore, no idea what it is. Essence of the creator, Bohemian creator, no idea. Endless light, I know only one thing about it. It's endless, meaning there is no end there. No end, no end. Can we grasp it? No. But we can grasp that it's totally different from where we are. Everything in your life has end. Everything. If you want to relate to physical universe, end. Everything has a frame. You look at people. How do you see people? There is a frame. Body is a frame, right? It's a frame. Man, woman, children, adult, frame. That frame that you're drawing, that's a limit. That's where you can see them. If we all would look like the wall, I would not be able to see you. So for that reason, everything is from the endless. When it's come down here, it's come in a shape. And that's why it's called the physical universe, because in the physical universe, there is end to everything. End to life. End to love. End to health, unfortunately. End. That's a weight word. That's a weight word. There is beginning and end. In a spiritual universe, no end. Can the brain of a human being ever will understand it? Never. You need to accept it. Why can't you understand endless? Because you can't experience endless. It can't. You're living in a frame. Your brain, your skull is a box. That box can never get out of the box. So when people tell you, think out of the box, you can't. In this way, okay, it's clear. Now, I also want to name the Sefirot. You know it by heart by now, most of you. Basically, there is the first Sefirah you have to remember, it's Keter. below that Chokhmah, you have to memorize that. Then Bina. Then there is a group of Sefirot called Ze'er Anpin that are built from Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Od, and Yesod. And then Malchut. 10 levels. Those Sefirot are an expression of the endless light all the way down to our physical universe. So our physical universe gets some taste of the endless light. But we are in the bottom. And that's why the real spiritual work of a human being, only here. After a person died, there's no spiritual work anymore. Nothing. Your chance is only here. It's only the first chance and last chance. That's up there, whatever you capture, that's what you're going with. That's your bag. A person could not act in a spiritual way for all kind of reasons. Then what are you here for? Some people think they have a mission here. If your mission is not a spiritual mission, you're in the wrong place. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? If your mission is not a spiritual mission, either you are stupid or crazy or really delusional. What are you doing here? Yeah, go to work, make a living, make money, all this nonsense things you gotta do. And you should call it nonsense too. You have to learn to call it nonsense. It's a nonsense of life. You have to make a living. You have to make a living. How are you going to eat? How are you going to pay the rent? So it's a punishment that you have to do that. But the real reason you are here, never for that. Never for fame, never for money, never for none of those things. You are on a mission. You come here to close the deal of your soul, to overcome some things that you can arrange your soul on the right direction. Your soul is captured by a body. The soul is the part of the endless, because there is no end to the soul. Can kill a soul. Can kill a spirit. Can kill the body. Soul can never kill. The soul never change. Soul always stay the same. The body get dirty, get problem. So now they live together. The body and the soul live together. It's difficult. Body say, let's connect to something limit, with a lot of limit. Limit. Everything with limit make the body happy. Body cannot be happy if something not limit. Body need limitation. Even some people tell you, I want a lot of money, unlimited amount of money. They cannot even grasp that concept. They say it, but they don't even grasp it. Brain cannot grasp unlimited. The brain can grasp more, less, but it has to be in the limit. Today people get excited from a salad. In the old days, the salad used to be lettuce and that's. Now what kind of dressing? All the physicality become more profound, but it's far away more from spirituality. More it's profound. People eat vegan, right? I mean, they think now they become spiritual. It's not, it doesn't make you more spiritual. The idea of vegan, or vegetarians, or yoga, all this and that, still within the limit. The only place you can get out of that limit is when you pray, when you meditate. You try, you said, help me, force, help me. Help me to get out, to see out of the box. Usually when a person goes to sleep, or when they pray, or meditate, this is the time. But doing it, let's say you go to disco, club, or something like this, or to nice dinner, limit. You have a plate. That's already the limit. You have a table. Another limit. You have a fork to take you a limited food amount. You have your mouth to limit the amount of food you can eat. You have a brain who chooses what type of limit you want. You want chicken, and then rice, and then vegetables? Or limitation. We only connect to limitation. That's the way we live in our way. That's why life is limit. That's why a person has to die. Because there's a limit amount of life. We only connect to limitation in this physical universe. We can't. Connect. It's not like something wrong with us. It's the way this universe operates. If somebody is very proud of his car, her car, how you limit the car, whatever you drive, Mercedes or BMW or Ford. I have a limit of Ford. I have a limit of BMW. Oh, you have a limit of Mercedes. That's great. We talk about our limit. We talk about your girlfriend, your boyfriend. This is how my limit look like. Do you like my limitation? If your girlfriend, boyfriend, cars will not be limited. How would they look like? They will be part of the universe. Do you grasp it? Do you understand? And then, Spock, why can't we all become one? I mean, after all, the atoms are the same. Walls, you, shared papers, atoms. But the once you mix everything together, we going back to what happened in the Endless. In the Endless, we were one. That position called E and his name are one. It used to be only in the Endless. When we come to this universe, we have to do the work. What is the work that's very difficult to do? To mix. It mix. Even when you're at a party and you're dancing and you're that, you don't mix. It can't become one. What, you're going home and because you love somebody, you merge? Not talk about sex. You become one and the body swallow the other body and the soul swallow it. One person. Can you imagine? You love, become one. No more limitation. Then another person love you, what? Three, become one. No, there's limit. What we are connecting to is limitation. That's what we know well. Limitation. That's a physical universe. Spiritual universe, no limitation. We can't really grasp it, but we can think about it. Okay? That's the name of the sphere. The name of the universes, or the worlds, as the Kabbalists call it, different worlds that exist in our existence. The first world called Adam Kadmon. You should always remember the name in Hebrew, because once you translate it into English, it doesn't have that much meaning. Primordial man. Primordial man, what's the connection to primordial man? It's been the first Adam, the first human. But it's not really what it means. It's been Adam Kadmon, meaning it's relating to Keter. Remember, Keter is the Sephirah. Adam Kadmon is the world. Below Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, or emanation in English. Below Atzilut, Bri'ah, creation. Below Bri'ah, Yetzirah, formation. And then action. Just that, supposed to fascinate you. Like, oh my God. If you were for the first time, you should be like, this is going on and I didn't even know it exists. Can you imagine? There's people who study Torah for, I don't know, 60 years. And they don't even know it exists. So sad. The universe operated. So you got to know the blueprint of the before the physical universe, so you would know the food that comes. How can you operate anything? And next week, when we cover the four phases in a good way, you need to understand how it works. So that's the name, okay? Now, I'd like to read to you. As you can see, I'm skipping from time to time to make sure that you're getting all. There is two types of light in Kabbalah, and we need to explain it. Basically, when I say two type of light, it's the same light, but that light comes into different expression. One light called Or de Chochmah, light of wisdom. The other light called light of mercy. Again, don't relate to the words because that will confuse you. Once you say, okay, that's mercy, that's I can remember that. No. You need to understand that. There is two levels in Kabbalah, memory and understanding. There is area where you need to understand. There is area you need to memorize. You need both. In this case, you need to understand. Light of wisdom is a force of light that coming directly from the Creator. That light, for your understanding, so you will have a full understanding, it's so powerful that you cannot even see it. It exists. Can't see it. Example from physical universe, even it's a bad example, but I have to give you something. If you take electricity, can you see electricity? The answer is no. If you touch the copper wire, okay? Copper wire from electricity, and you touch it, can kill you. How come you feel the electricity? Because that electricity has to come into an expression through something more physical. So electricity, non-physical, coming to expression through a physical wire. The same thing before we bring things down to the physical universe, we have first the Or de Chochmah, light of wisdom, and then you have the light of mercy. The light of mercy is what, it's almost like clothing. Try to think about clothing. It's a clothing for the light of wisdom. So the light of wisdom is the essence of everything, is the essence of the Endless, is the essence of all of it, okay? That's the light, that the way the Creator created it, if you want. Light of mercy is the clothing, so that light of wisdom can reveal itself. Because if the light of wisdom revealed itself, it will be dark. You can have the light to come to an expression if there is something which is not revealing it. Light of wisdom come from the light itself, where light of mercy coming from the receiving itself. Okay, so you have to remember. One come directly from the essence of giving, that's called the endless light. Now you need to remember, when we talk about the receiver versus the giver, there is a force that's called the endless. That endless force want to create, want to form, want to emanate, want to do thing. Why? Because it's a force of sharing. So when people coming into that ego, I want to volunteers, I want to help, I want to do this wonderful thing, you can help. You can volunteer, you can donate. What can you do? Can you do anything? Why, your money is yours? Is your body yours to volunteers? what is that joke even? What are you even talking about? You can give? What can you give? Everything that you have was given to you. What can I give? Wisdom? Not mine. There is Bore, inject wisdom here, Kabbalah, teach, that's it. Nothing that I can give. So I can be proud of giving anything? Okay, be proud. Stupid. So that it's ego. If it's ego, it's okay. It's stupid. So what are you doing when you do giving? When you do good thing, you are bringing to an expression the or the chokhmah, the light of wisdom. So when you do giving, what is giving? I want to give you orange juice or grapefruit juice. The grapefruit juice already decided by the Creator to be giving to you, and I'm asking the Creator, please use me to deliver. He can't create. I'm sorry for the bad news, he can't. Eliyahu created his children book. Me? Are you joking with me? It was a passing by thought. I captured it. I said, God, thank you. Can I express your wisdom? Wisdom. By the way, the book is in printing, okay? The new edition. That's it. Last edition. Is it the last edition? Last edition. L'chaim. My ego get crushed writing this book, I'm telling you. Woo! It was so great for me. Nothing left. Baruch Hashem. But it's good. It's good. It's really good. It's really good. But anyway, I want you to understand the difference of understanding like the whole concept of essence. So let's say you said, I have an idea. The Or the Chokhmah, the light of wisdom, has everything there. When you have an idea, that's in your mind, revealed Or the Chassadim. Every idea you have, ever, for the rest of your life, every idea you're ever gonna have, will always be for the sake of sharing. Even if you think you're selfish and you do it for the sake of receiving, it's always for the sake of sharing. You're never going to think about any idea which is not sharing. Please challenge me and think about it. It's always, even the craziest guy who steal or kill, they think they're doing something right with the sharing. They're wrong, of course, but every idea of any human being first come, how can I share? Why? Because the sharing is all the chasadim. The sharing is light of mercy. That's why it's called mercy. Because I want to share. Light of wisdom is a force that coming from the endless that want to share. But because, try to imagine you traveling in space with Star Trek, and there is light in space. Is there light in space? Yes. Can you see the light in space? No. Because nothing can bring to expression that light. That's why it's dark in space. You have a light or a beam of light or whatever you call it, ray of light coming through your window. You can't see it until there is a dust that reveals that light. So the light coming from your window is the light of wisdom. The dust, light of mercy. I understand. So everything has to have a force and something that brings it to expression. Everything brings expression and light. The same thing with the man and the woman too. Very simple. Okay? Right? The job of a man is to bring that light. The job of a woman is to reveal the man. A man who doesn't have a woman, it's saying the Zohar, is not revealed yet. It's concealed. Concealed. That's what the Zohar, right? It's like nothing happening. You plant, you have a seed of an apple. Put it on the table. What does that mean? Nothing. Take the seed of an apple, put it in the ground. Whoa! What happened? So who is more important? Of course, the woman and the man fighting. Who is more important? There's no more important. The woman has an expression, manifestation. The man has to bring that seed or that idea. And together, they have to learn to dance together. Can work alone. If a woman thinks you can work alone, that's wrong. If a man thinks you can work alone, wrong. You need each other. And if for a second they don't think they need each other, then the light of wisdom, the light of mercy cannot work together. I think it's enough explanation on that. So, now we need to understand another thing. What is a vessel? What is a container? What is a kli? What is a receiving force? Because after all, the word Kabbalah means to receive. So the whole wisdom is about teaching us how to create a receiving force. How you are actually come from something that has no receiving, create something which is totally receiving. And of course, those of you who studied with me for a long time, it's an axiom. It's an axiom. It's very difficult to explain it because we call it yesh me'ayin. Something yesh me'ayin. I have to put in branding that name. I want to create a t-shirt if you am allowed. Yesh me'ayin. Something from nothing. I got to wear this shirt. Something from nothing. Love that idea. What does that mean, something? It is something. But where does it come from? Nothing. Because it's endless. Endless. And less. Meaning there is no nothing there. From nothing comes something. So something from nothing. So it's say like that. כדי להסביר המילה הזאת, מהו כלי רוחני? בהיות הנאצל מקבל את שפר חמדו מן המעציל, אחרי שאת לא רצונו שתוקעו לקבל את שפרו, זה במנו התברך. Listen carefully, guys. Listen carefully. When the נאצל, the emanated, meaning the receiver, receive all the nourishment from the emanator, that's mean...
One moment.
Seriously?
Sorry, I don't have specific information about that.
Why would that happen? So that mean... What's the message? The message is... So the emanator is sharing that light, right? That fulfillment. And the emanated, the receiver receiving it, why with the emanated or the receiver will receive that nourishment? Be'echach must be mathematically that the emanated, the receiver, has ishtokekut, has passion, lust, desire to receive that fulfillment. You need to remember the amount and the desire define the size and the quality of the receiver. Now let's talk about it. When you meet people, you meet different people, right? What makes them different? What makes them really different? You want to know what's making them different? Their desire. You want to know everything about people? Find out what they want. Teach you a secret. Then find out how much they want it. Those two things, you know everything about them. What do you want? Very simple. What do you want? What do you want? How much you want it? How much you really want it? You know everything about them. It's done. You don't need to define people anymore. It will make your life so easy. Because what are we? We are a vessel. We are a receiver. We are a receiver of a force that want to give us. So what do you want? What do you want? And you have sometimes meet people, unfortunately, that their small little stupid desire was fulfilled too soon. And what happened? That desire never come to an expression, a real expression. So when they get everything in life, or whatever, they were spoiled, or whatever it is, or they were born smart, or they were born beautiful, or they were born rich. It's not just money, it could be beauty. Okay, you're born beautiful. You never can earn through your beauty, because you're beautiful. Everybody desires you. Or you're born rich, everybody desires your money. Or you're born wise, or the wisdom. Or you have all of them. You never had a chance to build a true emanated, a true desire. And for that reason, the amount you could receive, the amount that you receive is based on your desire. Unfortunately, you have to be careful, because the desire is what defines you. Some people have a very small desire. Some people ask, well, can you, people ask me many times, can you change your level of desire? Of course, but it takes work. It takes work. It doesn't mean, you know, you desire more money will make you more thing. If they desire money, it's nothing. Everybody can become rich. Like, work 3 jobs, you will become rich. Sleep 4 hours at night, you can become rich. I can give, come to me, I show you how. It's not a big deal. Find 3 good jobs, get good paid, you will be okay. Work, sleep 4 hours a day, work on Sunday, yeah, you will be good. You know, if you dedicate your next 20 years just to become rich, you will become rich. But if that's your goal, you're in big trouble, because that's not life goal. Life goal is to raise your level of consciousness. I want to receive more than just money. What about happiness? What is your happiness worth? Is it $1 billion, $1,000, $25,000? How much your happiness worth? Love. How much your love worth? Would you replace $1 billion for the love of your life? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself. You are sitting with the love of your life in Santa Monica Pier. You're not even swimming. You're just sitting there eating Greek yogurt, right? Everybody's into Greek yogurt. With a spoon. Somebody come to you and said to you, $1 billion for this moment to be canceled. And you get $1 billion cash right now. Some people will say yes. Because what they have on that yogurt is not real. You gotta know what type of desire you have and how much you want it. If your love life is not important, your happiness, you're thinking too small. If you're thinking money, you're thinking too small. You have to remember, taking money, your vessel is too little. It's like L'chaim cup, you know, those little things, that's money. You take it to make a difference in the world, and you need money as a tool, that's okay. But money is not the goal. You want to help all the poor people in Los Angeles. It's your goal. Beautiful. Such a beautiful thing. For that reason, you need $1 billion. Okay? You keep the yogurt situation going on, and you still go ahead and build places and bus station and everything to connect all the poor people and taking care of them. It's beautiful. That makes you happy. Every big desire person want to share. If a person only want to receive, they think small. You have to remember. You're thinking to receive, you think it's small. It's a joke. You talk it to somebody who's very little. I'm sorry, think to receive, you think it's small. Think to share. How are you talking? You work as a doctor, surgeon. You want to be famous and make good money. You know, my kids, as they're growing up, it's tough for them because they study with me all these things. You know, they go into the physical world. Everything is about achieve. Tough. I have to teach them now a lesson of life. So, well, the life out there is still physical. You have to make a living, you have to get profession, you have to do this and that. But remember, this is just a tool. It's not the goal. It cannot become your goal, guys. Never should become your goal. The frequency of the universe is only a tool. Happiness is one of the most important purposes. Love is another beautiful. Whatever is not tangible, if you can touch it, it's no longer a purpose. It cannot be touched. The real purpose of life cannot be. I cannot measure it. Love, of course. You know, a love that a mother has for her kids. How can you describe that even? How can you even understand that? Cannot capture it. That's endless vessel. You know, endless vessel. The mother will take a bullet for her children. That's beautiful. So you say, whatever it is fulfillment within the vessel is the light. Whatever it is desire for that fulfillment is the material, which called the vessel. הוא המודד גדלותו ושיעור קורתו של כל נעצה וכל פרצוף וכל ספירה. זה פשוט הוא גדול מנמצית, יפדע בלי שיעור מידה. Because the endless, how much blessing and light, the endless gift, endless, endless, never end. What make a measurement on that amount? Your level of desire. So if you don't have everything you want, something's wrong with your desire. Doesn't matter what you're gonna have, how much money, how this. If you're miserable and you're not happy, your desire is wrong. Your brain is in the wrong direction. Selfish people, small vessel. They don't want enough from life. Lazy people, small. Take big, big, big. How much is the endless wanna give me? Endless. I cannot grasp it. Once I want this, I want little this, that. Too little. So all selfish people are small people. Small, small. And it's not because it's not spiritual to be selfish, or it's not, we don't talk about kind of motivational spirituality. We talk about reality. You meet a selfish person, you meet a small person. Small. It's too little. So sometimes when you meet famous people or rich people, you get disappointed. Because once you get to talk to them, if you're a spiritual person, you say, that's it. That's it. That's a person that I was a fan of. I was like, oh my God. That little. That's what when the Kabbalists go to a concert to meet like those famous people and bless them, all of a sudden, those people become small and the Kabbalists become big. How come? How come the Kabbalists become big? Because the Kabbalists is the mashpia, is the becoming the light, is giving, and they are receiving. But if the band, let's say they decided to think, how can we give? Like when they did the Africa in the 80, if you remember. So how can we give? It's different. But now if they have competition between them, who is better and who is worse, they go back to receiving. So it's always, how can I give? You drive, how can I give? You drive on the highway, you give somebody else, how can I give? You become higher. Always the giver is higher than the receiver. That's the law. If you want to receive, you're lower. It doesn't, so I see that a lot of, and we have Persian, a lot of Persian people that come to study with us. So in the Persian community, there is a lot of the thing of that receiving is shame from a manners point of view, which is true. The concepts originate from the right study, but it become manners. Manners took away spirituality. Do you understand what happened? So people think it's wrong to receive. No. It's not wrong to receive. If you receive to give pleasure to the giver, beautiful. Beautiful. If I give you something and you give me really a lot of pleasure by saying yes to me and enjoy what I cook for you, what I serve you, or wisdom I want to share with you, enjoy. Let's say I say something smart and I want you to listen. And you are not into listening to me, but you're listening. You're patient enough to listen for 2 minutes. Or a child give to his parents a paint which doesn't look like Picasso. It looks lousy. But the parents want to make the kids happy. So what a beautiful paint. They are now receive and they give a pleasure to the giver. So that type of receiving is okay. מפאתי אותו מקבל לא פחות ולא יותר מכפי שהוא חשקו ורצונו לקבל. Nobody can receive more or less. I'm sorry, nobody can receive more than his their desire to receive. שזוהי עמת המידה נוהגת ברוחניות. משום שאין עניין הכפייה נוהג שם. In spirituality, there's no coercion. You cannot force somebody to receive. One thing can never happen in spirituality. How can I force you to receive? You can't. You can't force a receiver. You have to have a desire within the receiver. Once the receiver have a desire, then he's capable of receiving the blessing of the Creator. But if the receiver doesn't want to receive, it's gone. So for that reason, communication. First step of communication, nothing to do with spirituality, is to find out what that person wants to receive. Stop and ask. Even if you're a salesman or anything, first, what they want. You gotta feel husband and wife communication, what they want. Don't guess what they want. Second, how much they want it. Third, when they want it. Once you start to become their servant, you want to serve their need or their desire, then it's your ego. It's your stupid ego. Every pleaser, it's because of ego. Why you please the person? Because I want to be like. So you don't care about the person. These fake things will never last. It will explode in your face. Either with your children, either with your hospital medication, either with something not going to work. But if you give, because I want to give, and you ask the other person what they want to receive, and you please them. Not because you want to be a pleaser, which is receiving, then there is connection. But if people who are pleaser cannot say no, so you may assume they must be spiritual. Then no. Is pleaser spiritual? No. Pleaser is the most selfish human being on earth. The selfish at least have announcement. I'm selfish! Me, me! What does a pleaser look like? What does a pleaser look like? I'm asking, what does a pleaser look like? Is a pleaser look selfish? Never! Pleaser! When pleaser come to work with me as a coach, I always said, when the last time you say no? When you could do it, when the last time you say no? I was a pleaser, so I know this disease very well for many years, many, many years. It's an addictive. It has to do with the addiction group. So I read the book 12 Step. It helped me a lot. Very difficult. Because you want to be like. You don't want to be rejected. So I was slave to serve whatever I can serve just to be like. It's a disease, guys. It's a very difficult disease. And then I remember the first time I said no, it was a nightmare for me. Nightmare. Somebody asked me to help. And I actually say no. Couldn't sleep. Panic attack. Start to jump. Anxiety. You have no sweat. And it took me a few years. It took me a few years to correct it with a lot of help. And in the end, I was able to say no. And I realized that I care for the person more when I say no. You know? Say no. And when I say no, I remember it was one of the times I said no was in Los Angeles. I was in LA. And I say no. I remember I went back to my wife. I said, today I say no. I did say no today. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm happy, but I'm nervous. I'm so scared. And my wife, thank God, supported me, said, continue, you're going to be okay. And I wasn't okay for a while. But if you're a pleaser, be careful. You're not giving. You're manipulating. Don't give. Learn to say no. No. Not doing it. Okay? Sorry, this is not connected to the study, but it's important. So, הכל תלוי ברצון, ולפיכך אנחנו מוצאים את הרצון לקבל על זה שהוא כלי לקבל על נצל, הרי מבחינת החומר שלו, מתחמתו יוצא גבוה על מציל, יקרה משם לצל. So, how is this נאצל? How is this emanated come from the emanator? Emanator is only force of giving. Emanated is only force of receiving. How is the emanated come from emanator? Does it make sense? Because emanator only give. So, the emanator create emanated. The force of giving create the force of receiving. So the force of receiving will receive what I want to give. So the force that give create a force of receiving. And like this, you have yin and yang kind of thing. One force give, one force receive, but they equal. They're the same. In the endless, before we don't talk about this physical universe yet. In the endless, force of giving, force of receiving, that one. Because they're made from the same DNA. It was no human being or God or anything. It was first force of existence. So the force of existence that give can the force of receiving that receive. That's the entire creation, guys. Everything after that just become more. The rest is commentary, as they say. The rest is just mature itself up or upgrade itself. You know. But that was the beginning and the end of creation, guys. Force of giving, create a force of receiving, it's the end of creation. The end, not the beginning, the end. Everything after that is just evolve. Just evolve. But before that, only create a force of receiving. If you can just capture that, you look at life differently. Because when you talk to people, you're going to start feeling them. You know, sometimes people are proud of themselves. Whatever you have in you, an idea is a fulfillment. It's called the endless. If you're able to express it and to bring it to manifestation, that's a vessel. So think about it like that. It's in the Mishnah, whoever is wisdom is greater than his action. His action not considered exist. Whoever is action is greater than his wisdom and his action are exist. What did he try to teach us in the Mishnah? But yes, the light gave you a lot of ideas, a lot of wonderful things. But once you receive that wonderful idea and thing, are you bring them into manifestation? All right. So I think we cleared that out. Good. Let me see if I can skip to another thing. Yeah, now we're gonna go. Let me see the time. Ooh, oh my god, it's fine. So gone. Yeah, I'm gonna start with Nem now. So if the force of giving and the force of receiving are one, we need to give it a name. The name for it is called U Veshmo Echad. Translated U mean E, H-E. Ushmo, his name, are one. E and his name are one. Now that code is the original code of creation. You have to remember it for the rest of your life. E and his name are one. Forever you go, E and his name are one. E and his name are one. E and his name are one. E relate to the fulfillment. His name relate to the receiving force are one. Can we ever understand that? The answer is no. We can talk about it a lot, but to grasp it to a full capacity, impossible. But we need to talk about it because we need to understand that that thing exists in the endless. Because if it's E, and if it's his name, why you have to say they're one? Just say E, his name, different. If they are the same, why do we call it the names? Different names, you should call it the same name. E and E are one. E and his name are one. Tell us, Rav Ashlag. מכל מקום, אין זה עושה שום הבדל בינו ובין האור העליון אליהם באחדות הפשוטה, ואם כל זה נעשה, עניין הצורה הזאת אמורה לסיבה לגורם בבריאת העולמות, להוציא לאור תומתיו ולעודיו ושמותיו, כנראה כדברי הרב כאן. So all the idea of the force of sharing, the force of, you want to ask something, you can ask. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I was just relating, he and his name are one, I was trying to see if that was why maybe the Catholics and Christians have the Holy Ghost of God.
I don't hear you. What?
The Catholics have the Holy Ghost, the Trinity, which is one. They have different names, and they say it's one.
So I want to remind everybody, and I'm a little tough on that. If Rav Ashlag didn't mention it, we don't add anything. We only can translate, explain, give example based on Rav Ashlag. It's not that I'm a dry teacher. To understand this wisdom, we cannot compare it to something else that the teacher didn't say. So I'm sorry for that. So yes, they have this. They have this. Basically, without insulting anybody, they don't have that. You know, they can have it or not. Not even Jewish people have that. I wish. But without this understanding, you cannot understand a thing in spirituality. You can understand some story, Torah, Moses, this. To really understand, you need that. This is the foundation. This is the blueprint of everything around you. So I can compare it because first, he didn't compare it, Rav Ashlag. Ari didn't compare it. And I don't see any connection there. So, not to disrespect, but I just don't. So, he and his them are one, become the reason of creation of everything around us. Everything around us come from that. Until when? Until olam hazeh, until this physical universe. What is the difference in this physical universe and what happened in the endless? And remember, if there is no time, the endless still exists. The endless never disappear. So the endless take a place. So whatever happened in 6,000 years ago when the universe was created, still happening every second. But what do you want to connect to? Here, then, it's all happening in the same time. Is Moses here? Of course. Is Rabbi Shimon here? Of course. They're all here. Nothing ever been gone. Stop the praying. How do I do it? How do I do it? All of the people are the same. Your grandfather, grandfather. Here, all here. Nothing ever happened. It's nothing ever disappeared. They say, what is the difference in this physical universe? What is the difference? If everything was E and is there, but one in the endless, and it's coming all the way here, in this universe, say it to us, Rav Ashlag, we have a chance, through, of course, study of Torah, through doing precepts like mitzvot, by doing good things, we are practicing how to receive for the sake of sharing. It's the only reason we are in this universe. So my job in this universe is to learn that I don't want this pen, but the Creator want to give it to me. So when the Creator want to give it to me, I said, okay, I'm going to receive it to give pleasure to who? The Creator. I don't want the money or the beauty or the health, but the Creator can help itself or himself or herself, whatever you want to name it. And he want to share with me health, money, and success and everything. And then I said, of course, I want to receive it for the sake of making you happy. So my job in this universe is to receive everything, but for the sake of what? To give pleasure to the Creator. I can receive things because I want it, but I'm allowed to receive things because I know how much pleasure it creates to the Creator. It's almost like you're walking into somebody's home and they were cooking for 20 days for you. They know you're arriving. And then they get all the food out and the music and that. And then you say, I'm so sorry, guys, but I ate already in the airport. I didn't know you make me all the vegan and meat. And this whole type of food is there. You cannot complain. Now, what happens when you don't receive? Nice. Same with the Creator. The Endless. The Endless want to give you everything. Everything. Your job is to, every day, I want to receive more because I know how much pleasure it gives to the one who created me. After all, the one who created you wants you to be happy. So every time you have a desire for something, that desire is already been fulfilled before you desire it. Don't get confused, stuff. So the fulfillment is already there before you desire. The only reason you desire it because the fulfillment is already there. I know it's complicated. So, say you desire vanilla ice cream, is because there is a vanilla ice cream. It's not you desire vanilla ice cream, that's why you create vanilla ice cream. You can create anything new. All fulfillment is already here. What about the $5 million that you feel you need to have this year? It's there on the table, next to you. It's the only reason you think about it. But it's not come into manifestation. There's no order of chassadim, there's no light of mercy that can manifest it. You need to do a certain action. Whatever it is, it's Torah, study Torah, whatever it is, doing good thing, or whatever it is, mitzvot, it's called precept. So the only reason for the precept and doing good thing and that study of Torah is what? Most people think that's the purpose. No! It's the tool to reveal what's already there. Talk to anybody who practices Judaism, mitzvahs, and this and that. What for? God saved. No! It's a tool to bring to expression what's already there. Do you understand this mind-blowing thing? It changes everything. Why am I doing good? I'm doing good because there is something there that needs to be revealed. The only way I can reveal that is by doing this. So all the mitzvot, the 613 mitzvot, the 248 are positive, 365 are negative, which means negative means don't do. Positive means do. Together 613 are built. Those 613 mitzvot are built for what? What God has nothing else to do. Those Jewish people, let's give them a hard time. Let's give them 613. That's it, make their life miserable. No! And everybody have cheeseburger, those, let them eat this meat that was soaked in salt and then washed in water and there's nothing left on your sandwich. What is this? You know, you look at all the other people, they have a cheeseburger, juicy, nice. The oil go all over. And you look at this little guy with the yarmulke eating these things and say, his hope is good, he put enough ketchup, he's juicy. Drying, choking you. But why is that? Those mitzvot is not because you're special or you did. No. How would you change yourself from receiving for yourself to receive for the sake of giving pleasure to the one who created you? How do you do it? That's what the mitzvot was giving to you. That's what the study of Torah was giving to you. That's what the Gemilut Chassadim, to do good to other people, was giving to you. It's the only reason. When you are busy with the mitzvot as the purpose, you lost it all. You become religious. You want to become spiritual? Before you do a mitzvah, before I teach you tonight, what am I want to get? I know that the Creator want to give me such a gift tonight. What a gift! But I don't have a room for it. What do I do? Oh, now I teach. So am I selfish? I'm very selfish because I know the Creator want to give me. And the only way I can receive for the sake of sharing with the Creator is by doing a mitzvah, or doing Torah, or doing that. Whatever that you do, you have to remember the reason. Otherwise, if you don't remember the reason, you become religious. Religious is not with the yarmulke or the cross or the prayer. It's not religious. Religious is when you don't know why you're doing the thing. You're coming on Shabbat, there's Torah, blah, blah, blah. It's tradition. If you don't know why, you miss the whole point. Of course I want Torah. But the Torah is just there to help me to remove my selfish agenda and turn the selfish agenda into what? In I want to receive for the sake of sharing. This is the mind-blowing thing. If you don't remember that, you're missing the whole point of life. Because you go out there, and what are you living for? You want to eat a steak? You want to eat your vegan food? Whatever it is? Wait. I don't need this steak, but I know once the Creator would have given it to me. Okay, let me have it. So what do? Baruch atah, da da da. Why is it Baruch atah? God, did you thank you? No. You are now using the blessing to dematerialize your desire from me, to the desire that I want it because the Creator want to give it to me. Do you understand, guys? This is the most important transformation that you can do with your soul. And if you didn't do it, then now, do it again. Study it again. Study it again. Until you start getting it. When you do a mitzvah, stop. Stop. I say, I don't know, you put the fill in, or you want to do charity. You write a check for charity. Wait! Before the check for the charity, it's a mitzvah, because charity is a mitzvah. So you think, okay, do that, the Creator will help me to become more a receiver for the sake of sharing. Deal. So you always have to have that motive power. Because if you do it just as a mitzvah or as a nice good thing, you're missing it. We need to study it again next time. We're going to put the yellow mark here. Because it's important. It's important. How it went okay?